Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, April 5th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 12, paragraph 4, which begins with, "It was only a matter," and ends with, "Would I have it? Of course I would." Commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 Steps, Tonya P. for the 12 Traditions, Maria M. will read our passage and share on it, Jody E. will read page 164, and Julie E. B. is here for backup. We also have Christina M. here to greet our newcomers, and Shelley E. will close us out with some important announcements. Thank you. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21285. That's 21285. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21288. That's 21288. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
And here's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Yes. Thank you so much, Margaret. And I will now ask Tonya P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, this is Tonya P. in Michigan. And these are the traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only recovery is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 12, paragraph 4, and I will now ask Maria to please read this for us. Maria, star 1 to unmute.
Okay, sorry about that, everyone. Hey, this is Maria M. from Connecticut, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and so grateful to be doing service today. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. So, of course, this is when Evie comes to Bill and is starting to explain to him how he got recovered, and they're talking about step two. For me, the willingness, you know, I have here underlined being willing and nothing more was required. But for me, the willingness just came from pain. I mean, all the money and the mental torture and the mental time spent on this just brought me to my knees. I came in here just really convinced that everything I've tried hasn't worked. So it can't come from me. I always believed in God. That wasn't the issue. And my sponsor had me really look at all the different ways higher power is described. And the thing that really made me emotional, and I knew it was the right concept for me, was infinite power and love, like never ending and all powerful, no matter what. And the issue for me was that I didn't feel worthy of his help. I thought he didn't want to help me because of my past choices. And really not wanting to tell anybody about that and wanting to keep secrets, which of course just had me living in shame and feeling exiled. And I also had to really, you know, use that set aside prayer because I had concepts from the religion I had grown up with and not following the rules But I now know through evidence, not only coming here and seeing the miracles that have happened in people's lives that definitely didn't come from their own power because they struggled for years too, but also I now know from my own miracle that God has always been there. In retrospect, looking back at my life, God has always been there, even when I didn't know it, even when I wasn't seeking him, and that it's me who turned my back. And I believe that the disease, all the things that the disease was literally feeding me, all the lies, the disease lied. The disease lied to me for so many years, and for so many years, I just kept following the obsessive thinking, and that's came from my brain. That's what my power got me. I also really, really, when reading this paragraph, just pictured myself like surrendering, like on my knees, waving the white flag. I don't want to fight the food anymore. I don't. And I've heard a speaker say, you know, why are we fighting? You know, when people say I'm struggling, why are we struggling? It's just that surrender and acceptance, you know, that I will never win. The war is done. I have lost the war. And acceptance, you know, not only acceptance of what I need to do, but what not to do. You know, putting down the food is just the beginning of what I need not to do with the selfishness, the dishonesty, the resentment, the anger, you know. If I want to be free, you know, and to me, that is a small price to pay for my freedom. I mean, I have been in prison, and people might say, I don't want to do all that. That's restrictive. And it's like, no, that's what gives me freedom.
Reminder.
This program gives me freedom. So thank you for letting me share, Pat.
Thank you very much, Marie. I'm so grateful. Although we value everybody's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you'd like to comment on this and haven't shared in the last two days on any meeting, then please, star one to unmute. Let me know you're here.
Sherry
Carol.
M. I'm Della Jean M.
Sherry M. And is it Della Jean M?
Yes.
Okay. And I heard somebody else come in. I
Diane
have Sherry
M.
And- Diane M.C. I have Sherry M., Della T.M., Diane M.C. Anybody else want to get in the
Kara L.?
Kara L.
Vicky T.
Vicky T. Okay, that sounds great. So I have Sherry M., Della T., Delatine M, I may be pronouncing that wrong. You can correct me. Diane M.C., Kara L., and Vicky T. So if you're not Sherry M., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Sherry, please share with us.
Hey, thanks so much, and thanks for taking the meeting. I love hearing your voice. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered today, usually in Wyoming, currently in California. And this paragraph, thank you so much for the opening share. That's really the line of thinking that I was going on as well. And what I see here in this paragraph is, you know, it's so simple, nothing more, you know, right there. And it's telling me that it can be just, it's more simple than I'm making it out to be, number one. Also, I see that he's talking about the foundation of complete willingness. And by this point, I've already found out that step one is the foundation of the building. So it's telling me that since I already have this foundation, I've already said, here, I'm going to be entirely abstinent. That's my willingness. Now I can build this new arch, this new structure, which we're going to learn is we have two more building structures that are coming into place, the cornerstone and the keystone to keep the building solid. And this is the cornerstone. So I love that this is already a promise for him. He's already changing his thinking here. Because up until this point, I feel like it's been very negative about spiritual terms and ideas. But then he has a new question, and he's looking at his friend. And this is why it's so important to go to meetings to hear people's experience, strength, and hope, why it's so important for me to work with a sponsor so I can hear all of the things that they've done with their step 9 amends and the way that they've been acting so that I don't feel all alone. And he's looking at his friend here, and he says, Well, would I have it? You know, instead of saying, why would God give it to me? He's already changing his question to, would I have it? Of course I would. That's a promise with an exclamation mark. He's having an aha moment. Like, of course, why wouldn't I have it? You know, so it's always really important for me to see what are the questions I'm asking myself. You know, when I say why, that is always a buildup for negativity. That's self-pity. Why me? Why me? You know, and for some of us, I can see, well, for me, it was my thinking, of course, that was already mentioned, that's getting in my way. But it's also like, where did I come from? I think it's a lot harder for some of us that come from places where there was no love available, no parents showing love, and this God is supposed to be all loving. I have found that as I'm here longer and longer, I have found that the hardest thing is to actually let the love in, which is God. So no wonder I'm not going to surrender to that. How could I trust it? You know, my examples were abusive and very harsh, and I grew up with, you know, mental deterioration of others from alcoholism and spiritual malady galore, and so that's what I saw. So of course, that's what I'm going to see. But as time goes on, if I can just stay entirely abstinent and say, gosh, if you have it, you just shared, gosh, I could have it too. That's all. And now I'm going to get
reminder.
Hands in the air, give it all to God. God's going to show me how much love he has for me and everyone. Thank you, I guess.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sherry M. Delatine M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Diane M.C. Please share with us, Delatine.
Yes, it's Della Jean M. I'm from Idaho. I'm 79. Christian when I was about 25, but my life never got any better. I got a first diet, when I was about, I guess I must have been about 29. Couldn't stay on it 2 days. Couldn't leave the food alone. Just couldn't leave it alone. Now here I was, a Christian, had a diet, a good food plan. Then I guess when I was about 33, I found a way. So now here I have God. I have a food plan, a good food plan. And now I have a way, and I'm still not doing very well. Just not doing very well. I've been in and out of a way for about 46 years now. I hadn't come for about 10 years, and a year and a half ago, I went to the doctor, and I was at my highest weight at 238. And I decided to find a way again. Now it's just telephone meetings, and I decided, you know, I'm going to get serious. I've always thought that OA was the answer, but because the few other things I tried, I mean, like Weight Watchers or something like that, those didn't work. I decided this time I'm gonna follow the program. I'm really gonna do it this time. I'm really gonna get serious. And for the first time in my life, I've lost weight. I got down to 168, and then I started eating extra food again. Anyway, I'm back on my food plan again, which for me, I need God, I need my food plan, and I need OA. And I need to do all three of them seriously. I need to not just not take it serious, just fool around. I need to take each one of them. And I need all three, and I need to really be faithful to all three. Yeah, that's the word, faithful to all three. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Della Jean M. Diane MC, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kara L.
Hello, this is Diane MC in Chicagoland, and thank you for your service. So I came in the program kind of at the other end of the spectrum from Bill. There was a belief in God that I was practicing. And I, for a long time, I just kind of checked this step off. Like, I'm done with this one. I got it. There's nothing that you guys could offer in that area. I've got it. In other words, my God is creator of the universe, was jammed into a little box. That's really how it was. And it was through OA that I was able to begin to see that. And so I needed willingness too, to let go of my prejudice against you folks, really, and your spiritual exercises, your spiritual suggestions and way of life. And I, because I tried it my way, again, with God stuffed into my little box that I had defined, it wasn't working. It wasn't working. So I needed to have that willingness that perhaps there's more. Perhaps there's more to this God than what I think. And being willing, it came through that famous word, surrender, of just finally kind of getting on my face and admitting my efforts just aren't working. I'm reminded in the back of the big book of the spiritual experience, how willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. And that's when things started to change for me, of just really surrendering my preconceived ideas, my way of working the program too. Because with that attitude came of, well, I'm kind of special. I'll just tweak the program here. I'll do the steps my way. And it's pretty lame. And you can imagine the results. Not good. So I'm just real grateful that OA really has enlarged my spiritual walk. I didn't have to abandon what I was doing. It allowed me to tap in more. Well, for one thing, food's out of the way. So that's a big blockage. That's out of the way with my higher power. So just in a lot of gratitude. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diane MC. Kara L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Vicki T. And after that, we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 12, paragraph 4. It was only a matter and ends with, would I have it? Of course I would. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Long Beach, California. Matter of being willing to believe, you know, to make it my beginning. And, you know, this is 20 years for me in the program and 5 years with a new spiritual awakening. And what was the difference between the first 15 and these five? You know, is I did all the work. I worked through the steps. I knew the big book. I knew, you know, our literature. I was sponsoring. But what was that step over? And later on, we'll read about the bridge of reason to the shore of faith, right? I don't know what triggered it for me, but that's what I see in this paragraph, is that willingness just to, okay, I'm going to believe that there's a power that's greater than me that is concerned with my well-being and that will take care of everything. All I have to do is ask and be willing to be of service. I don't know how I got to that point, but this, in the morning, now I just say, God, you know, please remove my ego today. Please show me how I may be of service to myself and those around me, how I may serve your wishes today, you know, and then go about my day. But it doesn't come easier. I have to practice it every day. I have to practice believing and then step three, turning over. So seeking, you know, saying, what do you think, higher power? Taking that moment, that breath, that proof to myself that I believe. Right? And I kept trying and coming and doing, and because I saw other people in the room who had already came to believe. I saw the light in their eyes, and I was grateful for them, said it took me this long, it took me that long. You know, you're in recovery, just don't leave. And that's the only thing I've done perfectly for 20 years, is I've never left the rooms. I'm so grateful for that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. Vicki T., you are up next. Please share with us.
Thank you so much. So good to hear your voice. It's so friendly. My name is Vicki T., and I am recovered in Florida. And so for me, I had a lot of years, 34 to be exact, of an informational program. I could quote pages from the big book, and I could, if you gave me an assignment, and if you were going to give me a grade, I would definitely get an A. But I didn't have any transformation because I did not have any concept of anything of a higher power other than me, my mother, my husband, my body, whatever else. So there were too many higher powers in the way for there to be any kind of higher power that was going to help me with my food, and then eventually for me to be able to call God. I did not ever think that that was going to be possible for me. It felt too obscure. I like a structure. Like, I like the fourth step because, like, it's very specific. I have to list certain things and do a certain way, and it's good, and then I get the result. But there was no set, okay, you have to go 1, 2, 3, and then you're going to find God. My last sponsor gave me her experience, strength, and hope, and she would talk to me about doing two-way prayer and having God talk to her, and I was floored. I believed her. I didn't really think she was crazy. I just thought, wow, that, I was like, it was almost like looking at like something that you really wish that you could have and just know that you could never have it. Like, you know, like some kind of mansion or something like that, you know. So at word beginning, I wrote down some words from the reading. And the first one was the beginning. So I made a beginning. I started to practice some structure in a spiritual sense. And then I started to find, the next word I picked out was growth. And I started to grow, and I started to feel something that came into what I call, the next word that I saw was foundation. And so I developed the foundation. And, you know, there's this saying that people have told me that if I walk to God, he'll run to me. And that's exactly what happened. I sacrificed, somebody said this on a meeting this week, I sacrificed sleep for God. That's what I did. And then the next word that came to me was build. And so I have built my own structure, aka fourth step. It's not fourth step, but it's an actual structure.
Reminder.
Thank you so much. It's not obscure. It's a plan. And yes, I will have it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vicki T. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on any meeting in the last couple of days and would like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute. Give me your name. We're commenting on page 12, paragraph 4. Anybody like to share?
Jackie from Idaho.
I can share, Jeff A.
Okay, I got Jackie from Idaho and Jeff A. Who else would like to comment? Star 110.
Jody E.
Jody E. Okay, well, we'll start with that. So Jackie, please share with us, and you will be followed by Jeff A. And Jackie, what's the first initial of your last name?
H.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Jackie from Idaho. I just realized I had 30 days on the 3rd of this month, so I'm back in this program for probably 20 plus years in and out, and I'm not going to say this time I got licked because I never know, but I am on step 2 and I am doing this very differently than I have ever done. I did an incredibly thorough step 1. It was hard to see, but I saw it for the first time, how my food addiction, how my compulsive eating has played out and just wreaked havoc. So here I am on step 2, and of course we're here in the book on step 2, which is beautiful. And I hear the word I, right? I came back in. I tried to do this. I was going to do it this time. I was going to get it this time. That was the problem. It was I. I kept coming in, and I kept doing it. And I am an intuitive energy healer. I connect with Source all the time. And I had this belief in God. But I could not, what I didn't realize was I was not accessing the power. It was like all knowledge. It was like all head knowledge. And I would talk that I believed in God, and I talked that I, you know, trust my God. And I would see ways that the universe or God would take care of me and walk me through things. But I wasn't, it was like, I don't know, that was his job on the side, but I was the one who was doing everything. Fixing this, that how am I going to make more money? How am I going to stop eating? How am I going to help my children? You know, all of the things that life brings, but it was always I. And so now I am in that process of accessing that power. You know, and my sponsor tells me, you don't have to do anything. I hear in my two-way prayer this morning, just be still and listen. You do not have to do it on your own anymore. Just be still and listen. So we shall see how God works in my life, but I am willing to let him. But what does that actually look like? Because I am so used to doing everything on my own. And you know, I have a concept of it, but I'm just going to see, you know, I'm open. I am willing. I'm like, all right, God, show me what you got. Show me who you are today. And that's all I have to share. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay. Jeff A., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jody E. Please share with us, Jeff A.
Okay. I'm going to try and see this, see if this works. For me, two thoughts I have for me. I have a quote that I really like, and I put it on my phone and stuff to remind myself. This is a person who said, I am perfectly satisfied that my God is a cheerful, pleasant, lively, and good-natured being. Why? Because I am cheerful, pleasant, lively, and good-natured when I have his spirit. And it arises to me his perfect attributes. He is joyfully, lively, in a beautiful person. And I remind myself that it's not the God that I had some God in me, but a lot of it was through my parents and other people and stuff like that. And now I remember this quote and I'm like, okay, all right. He's a kind person that loves me. And I do now know that he does love me. I recently had two procedures today. I have chronic pain and they were painful. And yet I do know that he loves me. It's frustrating that he wants me to learn things that I'm tired of trying to learn. But who knows? He has a plan. I don't always love that plan, but it's okay. I just do it one meal at a time, and it's okay. I feel joy. I feel joy every day. And I feel pain, chronic pain too, but it's okay. But I do have some, well, no, I'll just stop with that. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Jeff A. And Jody E., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 12, paragraph 4, which begins with, it was only a matter, and ends with, would I have it? Of course I would. Please share with us, Jody.
Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. And you know what? I think I might have shared yesterday, so I'm going to pass. Because I can't remember. So thank you, but I'm going to.
The safe and sorry rule. Thank you so much, Jody. That's very thoughtful of you. Okay, so who else would like to comment then on page 12, paragraph 4? We'd love to hear from you. Star 1 to unmute. Alex K.
Tammy G.
Tammy G.
Yvonne A.
Yvonne A.
Martha O.
Was it Tina A?
Tina A, yeah.
Tina A. Okay, this is who I've got. I've got Alex K, Tammy G, Yvonne T, Dina A, and Martha O. And I think there's time for everybody. I hope so. But we may run out of time. So we'll do it the best we can. Alex K, please share with us.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks so much for your service and everyone for being here. Alex K in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. I love this. And it's been a long, long process for me coming to believe, slow and gradual. At first, I didn't have the willingness to believe in a power greater than myself. I was completely closed-minded to that idea. I didn't want to believe, and I didn't think I needed that. I thought I could ignore that part of the program. But I kept coming back, thank goodness, and over time, my closed, resistant attitude started to change, and my mind started opening up, and little by little, to that idea that maybe there was something greater than myself, maybe it could help me. And my willingness grew as I saw evidence, miraculous changes in my life that I couldn't have made happen, like being abstinent and free of the food compulsion, seeing defects lessen, and being able to face challenges with serenity. I'm grateful that the program doesn't force anything on me. It doesn't say I have to believe in any specific God in any specific way. If it had, I probably wouldn't have come back. It's gentle and inclusive, and allows each of us to find a higher power that works for us, and mine might be completely different than someone else's, and that's okay as long as it works. And I have found one that works for me. And now that part of the program that I thought I could ignore is the most important, my connection, my higher power. I've heard it said, I came to believe, I came to know. And I do know that I have a higher power who's loving and compassionate, wants the best for me, and is always right here with me, helping me with everything and taking good care of me. And what a transformation. What a gift. I'm so glad I kept coming back and didn't miss out on this wonderful connection that I can rely on no matter what. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Okay, Tammy G., you're up next, followed by Yvonne T. No, Tammy G., followed by Yvonne T. Thank you, Tammy.
Good morning. In this paragraph, there are a couple of things that speak to me. One of them is that both of them are in the sentence, upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. I've always believed in a higher power that I call God, but I've never been completely willing to do anything in my life. And especially with this food thing, like over the past 15 years, I've always thought that I could control it, which of course takes the power away from the higher power. And so it's been interesting to me to figure out, like just recently coming to OA, that, you know, the only way if this is going to work is for me to be completely willing. And that's probably really hard for me, and probably for most people, to be able to just kind of give away the reins to someone else, even though that someone else is someone that I trust that has my best interest in mind, you know, because that's the whole point of the higher power. But I then comes in the second part of this sentence, that what I saw in my friend, and I mean, the evidence is there and the other people that have done this the right way, that this works, and that I see that in other people. And I guess that's the thing that I most wanted to say, is that the other people, you folks who are recovered, that are participating and that are sharing and that are reaching out and being a resource for all the rest of us, you are true jewels. And I am so grateful for you guys who are really an inspiration and just such a resource and support for the rest of us. And I thank you guys for that. And with that, I pass.
Yes, I do too. Thank you so much, Tammy G. Appreciate your share. Okay, Yvonne T., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dana A. Dana A.
Good morning, everybody. This is Yvonne A. in BC, Canada. And yeah, I just wanted to share my thoughts this morning on this paragraph, because you know it talks about making my beginning. And what I've realized just in these last couple of weeks is, you know, I make that beginning every single morning when I get up and go through my morning meditation or morning practice of prayer, meditation and writing. And yet it is still so easy for me to slip back into my own will, to think I can resolve this. If I just try hard enough, I'll come up with a way to fix something. And I can slip into that so easily that I don't even recognize it until, you know, it reaches a peak or a head when I go, oh my gosh, everything's falling apart. And when I finally remember to take that pause and step back, I've realized I've stopped relying or believing that my higher power is going to take this to the outcome that is meant to be. That's not necessarily going to be the outcome I'm looking for, but it's going to be the outcome that is supposed to be. And so I can start my growth from that point. I can say, okay, fine, I see, and now I can start doing it different. So this is a process for me. It's not like a once and done thing. It's an everyday thing. It's a multiple times a day thing. And when I stop doing it, I get myself back into trouble. I start relying on my old ways. And so if I want to keep my foundation sound, I have to be willing to keep looking at that. Yvonne, where are you not letting go? Where are you not accepting what is happening? Where are you expecting things to be different? And when I can do that, when I can set that aside and truly just surrender to whatever my higher power has in store for me, the fear disappears, the anxiety disappears, and life is good again. And I go through this process like I am this morning of, oh my gosh, how did I get here yet again? The good news is in recovery, I don't have to go weeks and months and years in that desert of self-reliance. I can usually find my way back to my higher power pretty quickly. And that's a blessing and a miracle. Thanks for letting me share this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. Dina A., we have time for a two-minute share. Martha O., I hope maybe you'll call a newcomer and share what you'd have, what you would have shared. I wish we had time for everybody. But Dina, please share with us, and you have 2 minutes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Dina A., New Jersey. I'm sitting here listening to the shares. I'm thinking like, wow, they're saying what I would want to say, but just even better. And in the past, I would have been like, felt like, oh no, then what am I going to share? And now I just have these tears of identifying in and just tears of gratitude and love and connectedness and being part of a fellowship like this. So for me, I came in believing in a higher power, loving the higher power. I had none of the baggage of being too afraid or too, I just came in with a higher power that I thought was amazing and that I was doing amazing in relationship with him. And I spent 11 years of OA thinking that these pages and these kind of paragraphs don't apply to me. And when I got a new sponsor a bunch of months ago and she pointed out that for me, I need to read these paragraphs, only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Well, I did have the power a little bit higher than myself, but I had myself appointed as his personal aide, personal secretary, personal helper. I'm the CEO. I will carry out everything he wants done because I know everything he wants done, and I'm going to just make sure that it happens, especially in the people's lives around me. And what a humbling, eye-opening, liberating discovery that was. And no, I'm still making a beginning. I'm still just having the foundation about something beautiful to be built on it. I don't think it's all built yet. I don't think I am done just with the realization. It's a start. It's a beautiful start, and I'm grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Appreciate everybody's share. We'll now close with a read-in from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Elaine. I will. Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.